If your eyes are not very good, you can get by. Some of you here will know all about that. If you can't see, there are many things that we miss out on. The joy of the world around us. But the body can cope. The body can get by, although it is limited. But the eyes cannot manage without the body. So if we have a body that has no eyes, the body is incomplete, but it can cope. But a bodiless eye cannot cope. So an eye on its own is useless. You can have the most beautiful eye in the world, but if it doesn't have the body with all the nourishment and the needs that come from that, then it is useless. Paul gives a terrifically clever anatomy lesson. In fact, he was so taken with his own teaching that in Paul's letters, this idea of the body and many parts is referred to a couple of dozen times in all of his teachings. It becomes one of his favorite expressions or rather descriptions of the church. He compares members of the body of Christ to the parts of the human body. And he compares to complementary truths that any part of a body, an eye or a foot, makes a very valuable contribution to the whole body. And when one bit is missing, if you lose a foot or an eye or a hand, the whole body suffers. And secondly, he continues that no member can survive isolated from the rest. The eye cannot survive without the rest of the body. The foot is no good without the rest of the body. And the church in Corinth knew all about differences amongst various members. And he found that the best way to express. This is not just about differences between people in terms of not getting along. It's about differences between people in terms of differing gifts, the different things that we can offer. And it also challenges our reasons for being a church in the first place, or why we even come to church on a Sunday. When I was a kid, we used to go swimming. My dad often used to take me when I was little, and on a Saturday. And it was a great treat to go to the vending machine in the foyer of the old baths that we used to call them up north. And I'd save my pocket money so I could get a tin of pop, as we called it, and a bag of crisps or a chocolate bar. And I can remember now standing looking at the vending machine, going along the rows. In fact, we do it now, don't we, at train stations and whatever. And looking to see what you'd really like to have. And you put in whatever you want to get out. And if the machine doesn't work, we feel a bit cheated, don't we? You start kicking it and shouting at it and banging it because it swallowed my 80p and nothing's come out. How many of you have had that happen? Well, sometimes church is a bit like that, isn't it? We come into this great service provider who is there to, or it is there, to help us with our lives, to make us feel loved and welcomed and forgiven and accepted. And when we don't get what we want, we feel cheated. I've lost count over the 32 years that I've been preaching. I've lost count of the number of times people have come to me and said, I didn't get what I expected out of that service today. And I have never had the courage to say it, but I've always wanted to say, but the service wasn't for you. But I've never actually had the courage because I would have been run out of town. But deep, deep down in my soul, that's really what I wanted to say. And sometimes we can, and I do it myself. You know, I went to a conference in Harrogate this week for 3 days, and in the snow. And of course, my entire agenda was, what am I going to get out of this? for the money I've put into it? What am I going to get from it? It's part of our human nature. And there's nothing wrong with it in the right context. But if we don't guard ourselves, I think sometimes our church life can become a very subjective, self-centered vending mechanism where we give what we give and we expect something back that is going to feed me and make me feel good. We each want something out of it, whatever it might be. So in order to receive, we put something in. At base level, that might mean that we turn up. We might volunteer for a task or we might hold an office. But there's always a tension. Is this action for me to satisfy my desire, or am I serving a greater cause? It's a question that I often ask myself in my work. Am I doing this for me to satisfy my own needs, needing to be needed perhaps? Or am I doing this not for me but for a greater cause? Now, we all of us come into the life of the church wanting and looking for different things. Now, that's quite right and proper. We are all different. We are human beings. We have different needs and different aspirations. So when we come into worship together, you know, I've had lots of conversations with lots of you, and I've had lots of conversations over 3 decades with people who, some want the kids in church more. Others don't want the kids in church. Some want the youngsters playing with the toys over here. Others don't. So some want that to happen because it's inclusive and accepting. Others don't because it's noisy and you can't concentrate. Some want to bring coffee into church for services because it makes it more relaxed and more accessible. But others don't because they think it's disrespectful. Some want vibrant modern worship. Others want to be more traditional. Some want a minister in a dog collar. Others want a minister in jeans. You'll see I'm trying to take a middle road. Some want a long service. Some want a short service. Some think a lot about communion. Others don't really do communion. Very hard to service all those needs. Very, very hard. And nobody is wrong, and nobody is right. We are just people making up the bigger body, all of us parts of it. From one perspective, my question would be, and I'm really asking the question because I don't really know, why do we have these preferences? Why, when we put something in, i.e. make the effort to give to church life, whether it's in our time or our talents or our finances, why do we expect to get something out? Now, that's a question I often ask. When we give to the church, why do we expect to get something out? Because giving, by definition, is not expecting anything in return. When you give, you don't expect anything in return, because that's what a gift is. What's that about, I wonder? And, of course, I have to ask the question of myself, when was church about what I want anyway? And at the same time, the message has to be that our place within the church as individuals is hugely important. So on the one hand, maybe it's not about us anyway. It's all about a greater cause. It's all about the kingdom and Jesus. On the other hand, God says it's very much about me, because I am actually a really, really, really important part of the body, as are each of you. So there's a strange tension in this lesson. There's a strange tension in this lesson from 1 Corinthians 12. Which teaches us that every one of us is just as important as everybody else. Yet the scales balance out by adding that no one is more important than anyone else. So what we do is we elevate those of us who feel inferior and unworthy and useless. We elevate those members to a place of equality. But we don't elevate anybody beyond that into a place of superiority. Does that make sense? It's a huge leveling exercise. Spurgeon, one of my heroes, great Baptist preacher of the Victorian era. This is what he says in his wonderful 19th century language. Where are you, dear child of God, who are in the position of the foot? Have you been comparing yourself with some eminent Christian who did much in his master's service, and have you sorrowfully asked, why can I not do what he did? I am only a poor foot, always touching the ground, often limping, and frequently needing to be washed. Well, suppose you could be made into a hand. It might be a gain to you in some respects, but it might be a loss to the rest of the body. It would certainly be a loss to any of you if your feet were to be turned into hands, for you have need of feet. And the church, which is here called by the name of Christ, needs its feet as much as it needs its hands. The mercy is that even if you have, in your anxiety, perhaps I ought to say in your unbelief, been saying, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it does not matter what you have said, for that does not alter the fact. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course it is. Of course it is of the body still, whatever it may say. What he's really saying is we are what we are. And we are each of us important. We are what we are, and we are each of us in equal importance. It's one reason why I really don't like the elevation of positions in the church, particularly this idea of a minister being on some sort of weird pedestal. It's ridiculous. It's not biblical for a start, especially for us who believe in the priesthood of all believers. It is a leveling exercise. Now, moving on to these principles of church life that we introduced today, what we see from those principles is that there are some very different talents and themes going on, and many of us will key into different ones or maybe none. So the areas that we're thinking of are the worship life of the church, the pastoral care life of the church, our work with children and young people, our community links out of our worshiping community into the secular community, and the practical aspect of church life, the running of the place, the building, and all kinds of other things. In last week's notices, you saw them expressed as written in a round expression around the mission statement of this church. And many of you are interested in one of those areas, or maybe more than one area. But the message is really simple, that no matter what draws us or causes us to be disinterested or magnetizes us or leaves us in a state of apathy, wherever we may be individually, one of the truths is that those five areas cannot function in isolation. And sometimes we might say, well, I'm a children's worker, I have no interest in pastoral care. Or I'm not a musician, I don't know anything about leading worship. Or the examples go on. The point is really simple. We need each other. We really, really do. And sometimes what we do in church life is we compartmentalize. This is not about Trinity. This is about the church in the Western world, of which Trinity is a part. What we do is we compartmentalize the different talents and gifts that we all get involved in, and we separate ourselves from them. So out the back somewhere is Sue and her team with youngsters doing stuff. And there's a danger that we think, oh, well, they're over there doing that. That's nothing to do with me. What Paul would say in Corinthians is that is very much to do with us. That is absolutely very much to do with us. It's incredibly to do with us. We might not actually go and do that ministry, but it is up to us. It's up to us to pray. It's up to us to give encouraging words. It's up to us to offer ideas. It's up to us to say, hey, how did it go on Sunday? It's up to us to say, how are you getting on today? It's up to us to bridge the gaps between all those different areas. And I think that probably over this quarter, that is the challenge that we have. Trinity cannot be compartmentalized any more than the body can. Last week, I had a flare-up of gout. Who's had gout? Only one, two, three. That's not fair. Only three? I thought this was quite a common thing. I'm feeling there's a raw deal going on here. Okay, three of us. Nasty, Mike, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, it is, yeah. I had a flare-up of gout, really painful. I could argue that it only affected the big toe on my right foot. Actually, it affected my whole body, especially when I went and stubbed my toe. That's just awful. If I was to be so fed up with my gouty toe that I repeatedly kept clouting it on purpose because I was angry with it, or I was fed up with it, I would cause more pain, wouldn't I? It would be counterproductive. Utterly, utterly counterproductive. And when we get into the area of division in the life of the body of Christ, that's actually what we do. When there are others in the life of the body of Christ who we struggle with, because we all do, we're human beings, wherever people gather in any walk of life, let's not be above ourselves and all self-righteous over this. We're human beings. We might be a church, but we're human beings. We don't all get on. And people don't all get on across the face of the globe. But when we beat each other up for that, we might call it historically being vengeful or wanting to get our own back. Actually, we are beating up the body. And when a gouty toe gets beaten up because it's being a nuisance, boy, does the rest of the body suffer. And we all know what that kind of thing is like. So what we need to be perhaps thinking about over these weeks ahead is that we are all part of something that is bigger than ourselves, but that our part within it is absolutely crucial. It really is. If I hadn't got my big toe, I'd really have struggled walking. Or walking a long way. Every little part of our body is so crucial and so important. So wherever you are in the life of the church, I just want you to hear this today. Know that you are absolutely needed by the church. And know that you can't function properly without the church. And know that your place within the church is equal to anybody else. Nobody is above you, and nobody is below you. And your place within that, therefore, is to honor everybody else. Everybody else. So when stuff goes on in the life of our church that maybe is not our cup of tea, or maybe we're not so keen on that, and I prefer this over here, what we tend to do is ignore that, because I don't like that, and I'd like to do this over here more. The challenge to us is to say, well, actually, I'm going to change my perspective, because what's going on over here that I don't really like because it's not my cup of tea, I'm going to say, well, I might not get involved in that because it's not my cup of tea, but I've begun to realize how crucially important that is. And I'm going to bless you and pray for you, but I'm going to go over here and do my bit over here, which is a complete change of attitude. And so for all of us, there's a real challenge there because we all tend to focus on the things that we like and we do best. Not a criticism. It's part of human nature. and we would be very odd if we were not like that. But Paul is challenging us to need each other in a way that we have never known before, in a way that we have never understood before. So as we talk about the ministries of the church over these next few weeks, let us just recognize how important it all is, and make a pledge that we will pray, each of us will pray and support and honor and bless those areas that we ourselves are not called to and are not involved in and might not even like. But we will pray God's blessing. And what happens then is that the people in that sphere of life start to bless us as we do something over here. And the body begins to grow as it becomes nourished by each other. And that, friends, is a wonderful image that Paul is trying to conjure as he speaks to the church in Corinth, which has many, many different gifts and graces. And it also has the difficulties of relationships that any group of human beings on the face of the earth has. So as we now just sing together and take communion, we're going to have a very simple communion together this morning. What I want us to do is to come forward, acknowledging that that bread and wine is the same body and blood for each of us. It's the same sacrifice for each of us. It's not a different sacrifice for Hugh as it is for Mike. It's not a different blessing. It's the same blessing. There is one Spirit. There is one Lord. There is one Jesus. There is one blessing, and for us as the body of Christ. So I don't know if you think of yourself as a tongue or an ear or an eye or a mouth. I don't know if you think of yourself as a very visible part of the body. I don't know if you see yourself as something hidden and unknown, like Spurgeon's reference to the foot. But whatever you are crucially important. And if you are not here, this body suffers big time. So know that you are blessed, know that you are precious, and know your place within the body of Christ. Let's sing together. As we sing, we're going to have the elements come forward, and then we'll have some prayers and our communion. So let's stand. Because you've said, do this for my sake.